If you want to go and take your Bibles and turn them to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Excuse me. This morning, God laid on my heart this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that talks about the comfort of God. There are many things that happen in our life that bring pain or bring difficulties or are hard. But our God is great, and he cares for us, and he comforts us as his dear children. Here, Paul is writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and he's beginning his letter, obviously, as we're in chapter 1. And it is very common with Paul in his writings that he often begins his letters with thanksgiving. And even a prayer of thanksgiving and how the Lord has worked and how great God is. This letter, though, it still has praise to God, is a little bit different than his normal greeting, as he talks more on a personal level of how God has recently worked in his life. And as we read through these first couple of verses, we see how one who is discouraged, one who is facing difficulties, might be encouraged by God. Excuse me. Oftentimes when we face difficulties, when we face things in our life that bring hardships or maybe very sad moments, what are often one's reaction is to begin to self-focus. That's the fleshly reaction, isn't it? To begin to reflect on yourself, how it affects you, and even begin to wallow in one's difficulties. Kind of a sense to say, man, I can't believe this is happening to me. Why would this happen to me? This is so hard. And you get the idea. It's an idea of self-wallowing. And that's the fleshly reaction. I think it's often a reaction that we have. In this text, though, we see Paul playing out the greatness of God and the help we can be to others. Paul goes through the first part of chapter 1 in talking about the comfort of God and talking about encouraging other believers and even sharing his own difficulties. But nowhere does Paul say, yeah, self-wallow, take a break, just go over there and seclude yourself and have that idea of just sinking down in what's happened to you. Now, if we're being honest with ourselves, what is that? What is it when you focus on yourself, when you think, oh, woe is me, and you just have a downward spiral? It brings a form of pride. It's a form of our sinful reaction oftentimes. But Paul goes through this in talking about difficulties, and he talks about the comfort of God. He talks about how one can encourage one another, and he talks about trusting in God. And all of what Paul goes through in talking about the difficulty in the comfort of God, we see that Paul, rather than having one focus on oneself and just wallowing, he has us focus on the greatness of our God and focusing on how we can help others as well. And so if you're there with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 3. Through verse number 11. It says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even our life. But we had the sentence of death, in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also, helping together, be prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Let's go and open in a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you be with us and allow our minds to be concentrated and focusing on your word. Father, allow us to seek how we might apply your truth to our life. Allow us not to just be ones who sit here, Lord, or listen or see your word and not put it into practice in our life, or seek how we might be encouraged by it, Lord, in serving you. But allow us also be doers of your word, Lord, and in that seeking the Spirit's leading in areas that we might need growth. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. As mentioned, we see Paul here go through a few different things of sharing some suffering and some persecution that he went through. And we see that Paul, as he describes this section, as he describes some of the things he's been through, we see that he shows us how we might follow after as well in seeking to be and praise the God and just how great he is and how much of a comforter he is to us as well. But we also see how we as believers might also be an encouragement to those around us, that we might help those around us and comfort other believers even as we have had the comfort of God upon us. And we also see a challenge that as we go through difficulties and hard times, that our trust is not of ourselves, but it's in God as we live day by day. And like I said, Paul, through this, doesn't have a focus of self-wallow or self-suffering, of just, you know, overly thinking on and how bad one has it. Paul points the believer back to God and how we might serve him and how we might trust in him. And as we saw at verse number 3 right off the bat, we see that Paul points the focus on praise. Paul begins with praise towards God. Even among difficulties and trials, and as Paul shared just a little bit, Paul had been through some recent difficulties that had affected his life and those around him. But even among these difficulties and trials, Paul saw the importance of praise towards God. And that's the same for our life. We are not ones that are called to just be in praise to God when our life seems good, or be in praise to God when things are going our way. God is always due our praise because how great of a God he is to us. And so Paul starts off in talking about praise towards God by rather than focusing on woe as me, he points one to look at what God has done in my life. Look at how great our God is. We should not allow thoughts to fill our head of things of sorrow or is woe of me, but to have a good reflection on God rather than going to God and saying, Lord, this is horrible. You messed up. But to see the greatness of God and to praise him. For the more we focus on ourselves and the more we focus on how bad we might have it or self-wallow, can I tell you what happens? If you begin to say, man, look how bad I have it, and you dwell on that, and you sorrow in the circumstances around you and the trials that you go through, you know what will happen is you will become discouraged. You will become self-focused. Paul knew the importance of prayer and praise in the life of the believer. For it gets ourselves refocused on God and who he is. This brings encouragement as well to us as believers as we look at the greatness of our God and we look at the blessings that we have from God. That even though we might be going through difficulties, we can say, man, look at the blessings I have from God. Look how good my God is. Even looking at our own salvation to look and say, man, look at the love God has towards me. Look how he's changed my life. Look at the salvation I have for eternity. And it puts what you might be going through in right perspective. It puts your focus towards our God. And Paul, in verse number 3, as he praises God, he does so in a few different ways, in a few different praises to him that I want to look at, that we can still praise God for this morning, that we can still praise God for in our life. The first praise that we come across in verse number 3 is praise God because of who he is. As I said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. First being praised because he is God. Blessed be God is a phrase only found in three places through Scripture in the New Testament. In this text, Paul is using this phrase and this praise to God for the present blessings that we as believers have. We as believers are blessed on a daily basis by our God, even in the midst of difficulties, even in the midst of sufferings. Think of the blessings that God has given us. And we are blessed by God in many different ways. And we ought to recognize that. We ought to recognize how good our God is. Do you know each one of you this morning drew breath? Each one of you this morning is still alive. Even that is a great blessing for God, that you are able to live another day and serve him faithfully. And I'm sure as we can go on and talk about many other blessings and the goodness of God and who he is to us, we could go on and on talking about the blessings that we have in God. There are so many. There truly is. Allow us not to be neglectful or forgetful of the greatness of our God and the blessings that we have from him. The blessings we have in God are ones that we can always praise him for. And we ought to be. Second, we see that we might be in praise because God is our Heavenly Father. Through Christ Jesus and our salvation through him, as one becomes saved, as one puts their trust in Jesus Christ, we are born again. We have a new life, and we become a part of the family of God. We see that truth in Ephesians in chapter 2 in verse number 19 and talking about the believer being a part of the family of God. As it says in Ephesians 2:19, Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Have you ever stopped and thought about how great of a privilege it is that we have God, the Creator, the Almighty, as our Heavenly Father? Have you ever stopped to think how great that is? How amazing that is in our life? Not only that, but He is a Father who is very loving towards us. In 1 John chapter 3, we see that He is a loving Father that cares for us and loves us as His children. In Matthew chapter 7, we see that He talks about the greatness of how loving and caring of a Father He truly is. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse number 11, we see, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him?" There we see Christ comparing, you know, earthly people who are sinners, and showing the greatness of God, our Heavenly Father, who cares for us, who helps us, and gives to our needs and supplies that for us. And as we can go before Him in prayer and ask things from Him. And when you think of a father, and if I would ask you this morning, does a father help meet their children's needs? Yeah, I think we'd all agree that a father is one who should be making sure their children's needs are met. They are making sure that they are somehow providing those needs. For many of us, that's working, that's earning money that we might supply the needs for our children. Also, as fathers, would you say that it's also something that when a child is going through difficulties, that a father is one who often seeks to help their child? I think we would all say, yeah, that, you know, a normal father or father should help their child when they go through difficulties. And it's even more true when we look at our Heavenly Father. It's even more true when we look at His greatness and His love towards us. He loves us as His dear children. And we can go to Him as our Heavenly Father, and we have a relationship with Him. How great is that? It truly is. God is indeed in need of praise because of how great of a Heavenly Father He is to us, how He helps us, how He meets our needs. Not our wants, I'll put that there. He doesn't always give us what we want, but He supplies what we need as we serve Him faithfully. Thirdly, that we can look at, excuse me, in verse number 3 as well. As it says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies." We can praise God our Father for the mercies He has towards us. Truly, God is rich in mercy. Truly. When we look at the mercy He has towards us and how a merciful God that He truly is in our life. We see this in Lamentations chapter 3, of talking about the mercies of God and how He is rich in them. In Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 22, it says, "It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because His compassion fail not." And I could take you through countless points in Scripture in talking about the mercies that God has towards us. One preacher said this, that God in His grace gives us what we do not deserve, and in His mercy, He does not give us what we do deserve. God is truly merciful to us. He truly is. If nothing less, look at the salvation that you have through Jesus Christ. God is merciful. God is loving towards us. This is a mercy that we as believers have all experienced. This is the mercy from God. You know, like I said, even looking back at your own salvation, we have experienced the mercy of God, and in probably many different ways experienced more as well, experienced the mercy that God has. He's a God who is rich in mercy, though we didn't deserve it. We rebelled against God. We went against him. We sinned. But our God is loving, and he is rich in mercy. And we can praise him for that. He is a due praise for that. Lastly, as we look at verse number 3, we see he is a God of all comfort. This comfort is not comfort that we might think of in our daily life. And this is one I want to stay on a little bit, because it deals with a lot of what Paul talks about here in talking about the comfort of God and sharing that comfort with fellow believers. This comfort that we see here is not comfort that we might think of in our daily life or our daily vocabulary. We use the word a few different ways in our language, in our society. We use it that maybe we are comfortable on a couch. Maybe that couch is comfy and we're comforted by that couch and how soft it is, how well it seats us. And maybe it's having comfort in certain situations or even, as you might say, a comfort towards one or sympathy towards one in that way as well. None of these, though, are what Paul is talking about. Paul isn't saying that God will bring comfort that, as you say, you'll just relax and be comfortable. The Greek word here that is used for comfort has the root meaning that comes along, that has a meaning that says to come alongside and help. And so we see the comfort that God gives as he talks about it. We see it's much more than we might think of on a regular basis in our normal vocabulary. As it has a root meaning of coming alongside us. When we're in difficulties, when we're in hardships or sorrow, and then helping us. And through what we might be experiencing. And it's a little bit different than a lot of times where we see comfort that Paul's talking about here. Many of you know that I am not a fan of needles. I'm not a fan of shots. Never have been. I as a toddler, I had to be held down probably until I was 8 or 9 years old. Never liked shots. Still don't. You don't have to hold me down anymore. I just don't like them. And I remember every time a nurse or whoever was giving me a shot or drawing blood, they found out that I didn't like needles, they'd always say, well, let's just distract you. And they try to comfort me that way. They'd say, well, let's get this off your mind. Look away. Let's talk about this. How are you doing in your day? And they try to show a little bit of comfort that way. But what that truly is, it's just distraction. It's trying to get your mind off of what's going on. And I think that's a very real way that we try to deal with difficulties in our life. And many would even say that's a way that one finds comfort. It's a common phrase that one has found comfort in his work, or one has found comfort by just going off and doing something. And there's many people who try to lose themselves when they're in immense difficulties or even in great sorrows by maybe putting on the TV and just kind of blanking your mind out, forgetting the problem, forgetting what happened in your life, maybe getting lost in a book, maybe in video games, maybe going for a long drive just to kind of put that away from your mind. That is not the comfort that Paul is talking about that God gives the believer. The comfort that God gives is so much greater. Because as we go through those difficulties, God is a great comforter of all, doesn't just try to get our minds off that situation or ignore the problem. Our God comes alongside us and he helps us through those difficulties. He helps us to go through trials. And we see that God gives us help. God gives us wisdom as we go through difficulties, doesn't he? We see in James as we went through there that those who ask of God for wisdom, he gives us liberally. God gives us strength, doesn't he? Many passages that talks about giving strength through the Spirit for us as we go through difficulties. And we also see that God is one who gives joy and peace as well through Jesus Christ. And also, as we have the Spirit and we go to his word for seeking truth, that God, he speaks to us. He helps lead us in a direction in how we might grow even among those difficulties. And we can look at it and see many ways in which God comes alongside us and helps us. As God comes alongside us and comforts us. And how truly great he is in that. You know, how does the problem really get solved if one just distracts themselves or tries to avoid it? Or just tries to get through it on our own power. Maybe some of you have experienced, how well does it often go when you try to do something on your own or try to do it on your own power? Probably not very well. How well does a problem get solved? How do you actually deal with certain situations when you just try to block your mind out of it? Or in many different other ways that we might say could be comforting. But can we see the greatness of our God as he sees us and loves us and cares for us, and as we go through difficulties and hardships, that he comes alongside us and he helps us. As we seek him, he gives us help. He gives us aid. He gives us strength. He gives us wisdom. He gives us joy, even among suffering. Can I tell you how great that is? Can I tell you that if you're one who is trying to go through difficulties or something on your own, seek God. Seek his comfort. See the greatness of his comfort. Praise him for it. And continue to seek him. Even in this short verse, in verse number 3, we see multitude of reasons and why we might praise God. Because how great he is. Because of the relationship that we have with him through Jesus Christ. And through the great comfort he is to us. But we need to make sure that we are looking towards the Lord. Again, it's not the idea of self-wallowing or self-sorrow or that downward spiral of just dwelling on the stuff around you. Seek God. Seek to praise him for how great he is. Seek his comfort in your life as well as he comes alongside us and helps us. Can I tell you how much of an encouragement that is? That as I go through difficulties, that God comes alongside me and he helps me. God, all-powerful, creator of this universe, one who knows everything. He knows what is going to happen in my future. He comes alongside me and he helps me. How great of an encouragement that is. how great that is. And as we do so, we might be in praise to God as we praise him for the greatness of what he has done in our life and what he continues to do. But not only that, Paul also goes on in talking about this comfort of God. And talking about the comfort that they have received. And as he goes even further now, not only does God give us comfort and we can praise him for that and seek his help in times of need and to seek his comforts, we also see a challenge here that we might also encourage others. We might encourage one another. In verse number 4, it said, who comforted us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Again, Paul does not turn the focus on ourselves or turn the focus on just kind of dwelling on our own lives, but he pushes it and shows not only have a focus of God's greatness, but also have a focus on our fellow believers and how we might help them. All of us here today has experienced the comfort of God. As we've gone through many difficulties, as he's helped us through many different situations. And in verse number 4, we see that Paul, kind of to put it simply, says, God comforts us so we might also comfort others. So yes, God comforts us, and as we looked at, he comes alongside us and he helps us. And he does that to encourage us, to help us, to give us strength to faithfully serve him, but also that we might help one another. We have experienced the comfort from God and have been equipped to help comfort others. Scripture talks about how the body of believers helps each other, how the body of believers works together as a church. Through edifying one another through God and his word, in discipling fellow believers and helping them grow, in sweet Christian fellowship and in prayer that we're able to spend with one another and encouraging one another in that way, and bearing one another's burdens even, as we see in Galatians, and much more. And comforting a believer is also a way that we as a body can help one another. This is the way the Lord has allowed us to minister towards one another. Oftentimes when something is going on in our life and we're going through difficulties or trials, we are able to comfort others because maybe they're going through similar difficulties that we've been through. Maybe that they are struggling. Maybe you have a brother or a sister in Christ who's just been going through lots of difficulties, and you're able to come alongside and show them the greatness of God, to point them to Scripture, to help aid them as they walk in him. And in this way, we can come alongside our fellow believer and comfort them in sharing in how God maybe worked even very similarly in your life, maybe a similar difficulty, and being able to go to them and say, I know this is a difficult time. I've been where you are now, and I can assure you that God is good, for he gave me strength in this situation, and he led me through it. How great of an encouragement that can be to one another, to come alongside one and say, I've been where you are, and can I show you the greatness of God and how he's worked in my life? To show you that God will work in your life as well, and to be able to share with them that, to comfort them in that way, to even showing them through God's word, even in the greatness of God and in the blessings that he gives to us as believers and the help that he gives us as well. And even if you have not experienced that exact situation or exact circumstance, we are still able to be a comfort to one another. Verse number 4 says we are able to be a comfort in all troubles. Not just specific ones, not just ones that we have experienced, that one has experienced already, but all troubles. We are equipped to comfort one another in the Lord because we have experienced the comfort of God already ourselves. And so we are able to help one another. We are able to encourage one another through this. And we see through 2 Corinthians that Paul shares quite a bit of the difficulties that he's been through. We see it as Paul defends even his ministry, that he talks about the persecution, the physical beatings he's gotten, the shipwreck that he's been a part of at this time. And even as he talks about the thorn that's in his flesh in chapter 12. But as Paul goes through these and he shares these things, he shows the greatness of God through them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 12, just a few pages over for you, and Paul talking about the thorn in his flesh, we see in verse number 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul, who was dealing with a thorn in the flesh that we don't exactly know what that might have been. It was a difficulty to him. It was something that he even went to the Lord and prayed, Lord, please remove this from me. And God's answer was, my grace is sufficient. I am sufficient, Paul. When we go through difficulties, when we go through hardships, the grace of God is sufficient in our lives, just as it was in Paul. Can I tell you that as we go through hardships and even great sorrows, our God is sufficient to help get us through those as we walk in obedience to him. We are able to be a great comfort towards one another and to share how God has worked in our life to show the greatness of his working, to show his grace, his mercy, his love, his power. That we might be able to show that towards one another and might be a great comfort, that we might come alongside and help encourage one another. And maybe even help a believer who is in self-wallow to say, no, look at how great of a God you serve. Follow him, seek his comfort, seek his strength. He is sufficient. And we see that this comfort that is brought by, we see is brought through it as Paul talks about the suffering that he goes through and the suffering that he endures for Christ. But the comfort of God, even among great sufferings, even among great difficulties, is more than sufficient in our life as we walk day by day. As we face trials and sufferings, we can be encouraged and strengthened by God's sufficient comfort in our lives. Now, does that mean that God will take away the pain that is afflicting us? No. God has a purpose. God works things for good for those who love him. We are able to use those opportunities to grow. Just as we look at Paul's thorn was not removed from him. Does that mean that God will just take our mind away, distract us from that? No. But he'll come alongside you as you go through that, and he'll help you. And as we experience that comfort, we are able to share that with one another. We're able to point one another to God rather than pointing one another to ourselves. Again, Paul is having this the focus of not on oneself, but one's focus should be on God. Lastly, as we see as a believer goes through difficulty, and as he seeks comfort from God, we should also be trusting in God. In verse number 8, we see, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our troubles which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, inasmuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead." Paul in verse number 8 continues in talking about the difficulties that he's been dealing with, and even saying that, "I don't want you to be ignorant of some of the difficulties we've had." And it's most likely the Corinthians already had an idea of some of the difficulties that Paul has gone through, as he doesn't go in great detail here. But through this, we see Paul's example in trusting the Lord in verse number 9. I think so often when we're faced with a problem, we immediately try to sometimes handle it ourselves or take it into our own control rather than trusting in God or trying to change our circumstances or trying to just go away from what is happening. But Paul here, he shows the great example that we as believers, as we go through difficulties, that we are to trust in God. Scripture tells us that God is all-knowing. He has a plan for our life, and we are to trust in him. And Paul here, he says, we didn't put our faith in man. What can man do? We as men and of women, what great power do we have compared to the greatness of our God? And so we see that God allows trials, God allows difficulties in our life because he has a plan. He has a purpose that we might go through some things. Now, we don't always know the answer. We don't always know the reason. But God's word tells us that trials and hardships are used by God to help us grow. And we're to trust in God to get us through them. Again, in trusting in his comfort as he comes alongside us and helps us. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, we see the scripture tells us that God will never allow anything in our life that we cannot handle with his help. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as it is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able." Did you read that? "That tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." God, does he always take problems away? No. But God comes alongside us. He makes sure that there is nothing that we face in our life that we cannot bear, that we cannot get through as we seek his help. And again, it's not on our own help that we say that, wow, by my own power, I can get through anything. No. But it's a reliance on God in seeking his help. That as we seek God and serve him, he will never give us more than we can't handle. We are to trust in his plan, even when we might look at it and say, it's hard, it's difficult. To trust in God and the plan that he has for our life. And to know that through his comfort and through his help, he'll never give us more than we can't handle. That he will make a way for us to escape, a way for us to bear the difficulties that we face through him. And we are to trust. And sometimes that goes against our desire greatly, doesn't it? Because we're often people who want to know, well, why is this happening? Why is this going on in my life? Why is God allowing this? God does not always reveal that. Nor do we need to know. But God calls us to trust him and to follow his will. Don't think when difficulties come, or maybe you go through something, or maybe some type of sorrowful thing happens in your life, that you think to yourself, God messed up. No, he did not. God is perfect. God is all-knowing. God's plan for our life will always be greater than anything that we could ever go plan for ourselves. We don't always know the reason. In Acts chapter 12, we see that in the same chapter, in Acts chapter 12, James was killed by Herod. But in that same chapter, we see that Peter was delivered from prison. Did God mess up with James dying? Because Peter went free. No. It was God's plan and will for James to for Peter to escape. Both men were delivered by God just in different ways. Don't think for a moment. I heard a preacher recently say this and I thought it was so true. Don't think for a moment that anyone ends up in heaven on accident. God is in control. God has a plan. We might not always know it or understand it, but we are called to trust in him through those difficulties, through those sorrows. And is it hard? It absolutely is hard. There are sometimes great things that come into our life that bring sorrow or bring pain or hardships or suffering. But we are able to trust in God that he has a plan for us. He has a purpose. And that we are able to use what we go through as God comforts us to help one another as well. You see that as we trust in God, as we seek him, as we go through difficulties, we might help other believers as well to encourage them when they face similar difficulties or as they go through trials. So as we go through difficulties in our life, we ought not to turn to ourself and wallow or to self-pity, but turn to God. Can you see the greatness of God? Can you see the blessings that we have from him? Can you see the great relationship that we have with him to even call him our Father? Can you see the great comfort as God comes alongside us and helps us? Why would we ever want to try to deal with it on our own? When you look at the great love and mercy of God and see how he helps us through those difficulties. And as I mentioned, it's not always easy. Can I encourage you, if you're going through a difficulty, if you're going through a trial or a hardship, to look towards God. See his greatness. Be in praise of his greatness. Be in thanksgiving to his greatness. and look at the great comfort he is to our life. And I also encourage you as you might be sitting there and you're saying, I don't know, you know, I'm not really going through a great difficulty. I'm not really going through a great hardship right now. Can I encourage you, you know, to seek to help other believers, to seek to help others that are going through difficulties, that you might be able to be an encouragement to them, that you might be able to point them to the greatness of God and how he's worked in your life, to be able to point them to how great God is as he will help them as they seek to serve him faithfully. And for all of us here this morning, we ought to be trusting in God day by day, trusting in his plan and his will for our life. If God leads you away, if a certain way, trust in him that he has a plan and a purpose for that, for our own good. Trust in him that the difficulties that we go through, he will help us and he will get us through them. He will help us bear them. He will help make a way for an escape. Nothing that we go through will ever be more than we can handle with God's help. And we ought to continue as we go through these difficulties and trials and as we trust in him, to continue to serve him faithfully in every aspect of our life. Sometimes it's when we face the greatest challenges and face the greatest hardships or trials that brings the greatest temptation to go our own way. Because we're looking for an escape, we're looking for a way to get out of that situation or a way of just focusing on ourselves. But can I encourage you, don't do that. Trust in God. Rely on his help. Rely on his comfort. Rely on his power. And through that, he will come alongside you and help you. Trust in him day by day. Seek his comfort and seek how we might be an encouragement and comfort to one another as well as we share the greatness of God. Let's go and close in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for how great of a God you are. Lord, in just briefly looking at the greatness of your mercies and looking at the blessings that we have and looking at how you are a great comforter. Father, I praise you for that. I thank you for that. How great you are. Father, I pray that as we go through difficulties, as we go through hardships, that we seek you through them, Lord. That we seek your comfort and your help. Father, allow us not to turn to ourselves or turn to temptations in times of hardships or in times of trials. But allow us to seek you. Allow us to trust in you, Lord. And Father, I pray that you allow us as well as we have experienced your great comfort, as we have experienced your greatness and your love and your mercies, that we might come alongside one another and comfort them through you, to show them your greatness, to show them the working that you've done in even our own lives, to be able to share our testimony, Lord, and helping comfort one another, encouraging one another through that. And Lord, no matter the difficulties, I pray for strength as we continue to trust in you, Lord. Father, be with us as we go through them. Be with us as we trust in you. Allow us to not see the storm around us and to lose our trust there or to stray from you, Lord, but to cling to you even more. and know, Lord, that you have a plan and a purpose in our life. I pray, Lord, that we seek you in all things. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.